Coming, aren't we, to meet, know, and to follow Jesus, to figure out who he is, follow him with our lives, amen? Stand with me as we read the word of the Lord. Here's the word of the living God today. We've been, this 1 Peter 3:15, Peter, the great fisherman, said these words in his epistle. And he said, "But sanctify Christ, set apart Christ, revere Christ, set apart, sanctify Christ as Lord of your hearts." Take Jesus and sanctify him as the Lord of your hearts. Is my mic on?
Hello? Oh, dude, that was me. Sorry. It's bad. I don't want you to hear me singing on streaming because my voice stinks when they forget. Okay. "But sanctify Christ as Lord of your hearts always, being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that's in you because of Jesus." Jesus gives all of us in this room hope. And you're supposed to do this with gentleness and reverence because you've sanctified Christ as Lord of your hearts. Now, here's an amazing teaching, Luke chapter 9, 23 through 25. "Then he said to them all, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me.' Jesus says, 'For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever wishes to lose their life for me will save it.' What is it, by the way, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet to forfeit their very self or their life or their soul? What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and forfeit their soul?" Good question, right? Father, we ask this morning that you would just be here with us in a very special way, Lord. God, we come to worship you this morning in spirit and in truth. We come with purpose this morning, Lord. We ask for your spirit to fall upon us. That God, you would speak into our hearts, that Lord, you would touch our eyes, we could see Jesus, you would touch our ears, and we could hear the voice of the Lord speaking into our lives. And God, we pray this for the glory of the kingdom of Jesus, and all those who love Jesus would say what?
Amen.
Amen. And you all may be seated. And as you do, a pastoral moment with you. You know, Millette told us that, you know, hey, I'm going to be moving to San Diego sometime in the fall of last year. And her son is like, Mom, I need you down here. And that was the right thing to do. And, you know, and we just prayed with her and we're going to miss her. By the way, we have a party for her afterwards in Building B. We just love them. I have to tell you, when Millette first got here, I thought she was an angel in disguise. You know, the Bible says that we enter 10 angels unaware. I honestly thought she's an angelic being who was disguised as a human being. And then for me, as Millette began to open her heart and share her past and the hurts that she had, certainly the medical shocks that happened to her awesome husband, Ellie, and for her to have to just figure out how to live life. And there was a lot of church damage that she encountered on her journey, and so much so that, you know, she was experiencing physical, sometimes when life can become so stressful and so bad that we actually can experience physical, you could get hives, for example, which happened to me. So when the Lord brought her here, according to her, she said that she was just completely a broken human being, and really unconfident and unsure and all these things, which is so hard. I saw her as just this amazing person. I had no idea who she was, what she was dealing with. And as she was sharing this with us, and she really kind of, you guys got the sanitized version. We're in our core staff meeting, and she was just pouring out her heart. I'm like, God, Millette, I had no idea that this is the state of who you were as a human being as you came here. I had no idea. And to hear her story of how God used you to restore her and to heal her, this church, to bring healing into her life, it was beautiful how the Lord did this because it was a win-win, FYI. We needed them as much as they needed us. Amen? It's going to be really, we love Millette, and we're just going to miss her big time. And Mari Carr is going to be awesome, as Millette said, and everything's going to be fine. But God's will is really good. Did you know that? I've been going for walks with Jesus, and I was walking after I heard about this, and she really just poured out her heart. We were going for a walk with Jesus, and I was just feeling it was so, I felt so warm that God would choose you. It's like God sees this beautiful sister of his who needs to be healed, and he looked around and said, what church am I going to put her in? I'm going to put her in at Woodbridge Community Church because I know that church. And I know that this is the church that I'm going to use to bring healing and answer prayers in her life. Every church has a DNA, just like every person has a DNA. There are different churches. Do you guys know what the average size of the church is in America? 60 people. The average size of a church in America is 60 people. When I came to Woodbridge back in 92, this was a church of about 160 people. Right before COVID, we had about 300 in the main service, and we had like 20 people watching online. After COVID, we're averaging about 200 in the service and about 120 online. The world changed after COVID. Have you noticed? It is what it is. It is what it is. We're considered a medium-sized church. When I first got saved, I went to Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. It's a big mega church at the time. Awesome church, loved the church. I got to meet Pastor Chuck once. I waited in line to meet him. There are some things that little and medium-sized churches do better than big churches. Do you know what that is? They love people better. They have relationships with people it's really difficult to connect in a big church. You got to work at it. It's not impossible. Smaller and medium churches, there's certain things that they do better. They love people better. It's easier to build relationships in a small and a medium church. It's easier for smaller and medium churches to pray for one another and weep with one another and rejoice with one another and live life together with one another. There's different things. It's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. The Lord didn't use the building to bring healing in Millette's family's life. It's you people. As you walk with Jesus and how you love Jesus, and as you just daily were transparent and you would love them and be who God's called you to be in their lives and they were in your lives, it's you people that brought healing into Millette's life. 7 years ago, I had no idea how wounded she was. And 7 years later, she's leaving here with such a healing of the Lord, and God used you people to do it. This is a great church. As of today, this is the church that God has, and it's a great church. How do you measure a healthy church? You ever thought about that? I have. How do you measure a healthy church? If you know that Jesus gives grades to churches? When you read Revelation chapter 2 and 3, that Jesus was actually giving grades on how the churches were doing in Asia Minor at the time. And as a pastor, I've always looked at that and said, man, Lord, when you see this church, what do you see? And how can we be better? But what do you see, you know? How do you measure a healthy church? What's the metric that you would use? Jesus says that you will know that you're my disciples by the way you love one another. There's no greater commandment than this, that one would love one another. Churches are measured by truth, by love, a healthy church, by obedience, by devotion to Christ. What is God looking for in a church? Whatever God has for this church, if God wants to fill this church, hallelujah. That's God's You know, the Lord will add to your numbers daily those. That it's a God thing, but I want you, God uses different churches for his different purposes. And I really love this church. It bothers me as a pastor when I don't know somebody at this church. When I meet someone and I'm like, you've been here 3 months and I never even met you, it bothers me. It would drive me nuts if I was a pastor of a church of 7,000 or something. It would kill me. It's not for, there's a reason why you come here. Right? There's a reason why I've stayed here. I love this place. This is a great church and it has nothing to do with the building. You guys are amazing. I just want to say that to you. I just love you guys. So there's a pastor's moment for you. By the way, how's your New Year's resolutions going for 2026? Just kind of curious. You guys doing okay? It's the third Sunday since 2026. How you doing? Have you been hitting the gym? Pastor Vince and I have been hitting the gym. I've lost 10 pounds. I wanted to shave my goatee, right? So I wanted to lose weight. That's why I shaved my goatee, right? I've lost weight. But it was so cool, by the way. I was with the youth at camp yesterday, and one of the girls says, Pastor Frank, you look like a cop. I'm like, really? So it's kind of, but then my son's a cop, Jordan, and he has a mustache. I go, yeah, I guess I do. So I'm thinking, I got to shave the whole thing off. I got to see what I look like completely. But New Year's resolutions, how you doing with your New Year's resolutions? Hope you're staying in there. Pastor Frank has been challenging you for the last 2 weeks to sanctify Christ as Lord of your heart for 2026. Sanctify the Lord as the Lord of your hearts for this year. Because if you do that, you'll have a good year. When you give Jesus your heart and you say, God, you're the Lord and I'm not, and I just set you apart, I reverence you, I sanctify you, you're the Lord and I'm not. When you can do that in your heart, then you live your life because you know every decision of your life flows from your heart. So when Jesus has the Lord of your heart, your heart's going to change. And I just challenge you, I dare you, sanctify Christ as the Lord of your heart. If you do that, you'll have a great year of 2026. And we've been talking about what would it look like if you were to do that, how does that practically work? If Jesus is the Lord, what does that look like for your past sermon of last Sunday? If you were to give Jesus the lordship of your life and you have all that baggage, he would tell you how to deal with that. Man, if there's somebody that's wounded you and hurt you within the body of Christ, Jesus commands you to go to them one-on-one, two-on-one. Find healing and reconciliation. But even if you can't, you should always forgive. Jesus tells you very specifically, if you're going to make him the Lord of your past, this is what he commands you to do. And when you do that, you find peace with your past and you find reconciliation and healing. It's the way of Jesus. It's the Jesus way. If you were to make Jesus the Lord of your present, what would that look like? And there's the message of today. If you were to give Jesus the Lord of today, is today called today? Is Jesus the Lord today? He is. Even if you don't even declare him as Lord. He is the Lord. And that's even the sermon of next week. But if you make Jesus the Lord of today, did you know that today has 24 hours in it? Today has 1,440 minutes today. Actually, today has 86,400 seconds in it. And each day that you get to live is a gift from God. If you were to choose to give Jesus the Lord of today, what does that look like and how do you go about doing that? That's kind of our challenge today. So let me just encourage you. If you wanted, okay, he's the Lord of the past, he's the Lord of my heart, how to make him the Lord of each day that I get to live? I want you to take down notes with me today and go into small groups, talk about this. Note number one, write this down. How do we go about practically doing that, Pastor Frank? Here it is. Sanctify Christ as Lord of our present is a daily decision. This is something you choose to do. This is a decision that you will choose to make. You either choose to do it or not to do it. And that is God's gift to you, free will. You can make him Lord or not of your life, but he asks you to. He calls you to. And he's doing that for your good. Very important. Daily decision. Amazing teaching of Jesus that he's taught to his disciples 2,000 years ago and us today. And I want to read this to you, and we're just going to talk about this. This is a really tough text. It's a great text. Luke chapter 9. So here's Jesus, 23 through 25. And he said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves." Who likes to do that? "And take up their cross daily." Whoa, what does that even mean? Follow me, okay. "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. For what good is it for someone to gain the whole world and forfeit their soul?" Jesus had just declared to them that he's the promised one. He's the Messiah. He's the Lord. And he actually told them, "I'm heading to Jerusalem to die on a cross. And I'm going to," he was real frank with them, to be frank. And as soon as he said that, he said these words to him, which are really heavy words. "Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. And if you do this, your life will forever change." Right? I remember, every time I read this text, I remember as a seminary student at Talbot Seminary, and Dr. Wilkins teaching, he spent a whole class just on what does it mean to pick up a cross? What did it mean for Jesus to pick up a cross? What does it mean for us to pick up your cross and follow Christ? And it's interesting because, let me just say this, for Jesus, the cross represented the will of God for his life. It was the will of the Father. For Jesus, the Father's will for Jesus was to go die on a cross to pay for all of our sins. He was the atonement of humanity. It was God's will. It was the Father's will for Jesus to pick up the cross. When Jesus says that we are to deny ourselves and pick up our cross, what does that mean? It means that you're to pick up the will of God for your life. To deny yourself and pick up the Father's will for your life. For Jesus, it was literally for him to pick up his cross. Praise God for you and for me. He's not literally calling you to, I don't think. But it's for you and me to daily say the cross represents the will of God for my life and to pick it up. By the way, was it easy for Jesus to pick up his cross and to follow the will of the Father? Answer? Remember the Garden of Gethsemane? He's like, "Is there any way I can get around this thing?" Right? "Father, is there any other way?" He was dripping sweat of blood. His blood vessels in his forehead was bursting because he knew what this was. Any way I can get around? Do you know that the will of God for your life is not easy? Just ask Jesus. But it's good, acceptable, and perfect. Is anyone in here glad that Jesus picked up the cross? Amen. Amen. He died. He took your place, paid your debt before a holy God. If you want to follow me, deny yourself, pick up your cross daily, and follow me. Note number two, the cross represents the will of God for your life. It represents the will of God for your life. And I must say, it's a battle at times to pick up God's will for your life and to follow him. There's days when it makes sense, and there's days it's like, I do not want to do this. FYI, the message of last Sunday. Jesus commands you, if somebody sinned against you, to go to them one-on-one and talk to them in love. Does anyone like doing this? Jesus commands you to forgive people that sinned against you. It's difficult. Sometimes the will of God for your life is difficult, but it's good. It's really good. It's really good. If you were to give Jesus the Lord of your present, what does that look like? It's an attitude of the heart. And so here's some practical things that I do. for me to sanctify Jesus as the Lord of each day, here's the things that I do, and maybe they'll bless you. And so if you're going to take notes, write this one down. And note number three says, be mindful of his presence in the morning. Be mindful of the presence of Jesus. When you wake up in the morning, be mindful that he's there. And here's a great verse, Psalm 139, 1 through 3. King David says, you've searched me and know me, Lord. Lord, you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. And you're familiar with all my ways. I mean, the Lord is with you every morning. Every morning that you get up, God is there. He's always with you. He's never left you. He's never forsaken you. He will always be with you, right? It was so wild, man. I still remember, so Sin and I got married. That first morning after we were married, I woke up and looked over. There was somebody sleeping in my bed. It was so weird. And I looked over at her and I went, oh my God. Oh yeah, I got married yesterday, right? And I was shocked. It was awesome. Do you know that every morning you wake up and there's the Lord? He's there. Acknowledge him. Good morning, babe. You beautiful one, right? Speaking to my beautiful wife. When you wake up in the morning, acknowledge the Lord. And just see him. See him. There he is. And secondly, talk to him. And that's note number two. Pray or talk to God in the morning. And when you do, declare him as the Lord over your day. Hey, good morning, Lord. You see him. God's there. He's there. See him, acknowledge him, and talk to him. Good morning, Lord. You are the Lord. You're the Lord over my day. You are the King of kings and Lord of lords. When I think about the Lord, I picture who he is when I wake up in the morning. Sometimes I'll read Revelation chapter 4 where it speaks of the throne where Jesus is at right now with the flashing and the thunder and the lightning, and there is this one sitting on this throne that shines like the sun. It's kind of like that transfiguration that he did. Sometimes I love this picture, you guys. I think that's cool. If you could just take a snapshot of that in your brain, talk to him in the morning. See what he's doing? Yeah, it walks on water. Anybody who can walk on water and raise the dead, you should listen to, because they might be smarter than you. He's the Lord. Declare him the Lord of your heart. Sanctify him. Good morning, Lord. Oh, you're the Lord and I'm not. This is what I do in the morning. I talk to the Lord. And you guys, I try, and I, here's a side note, but write this down. I thank him for his love and everything good that's in my life because of him. And that's the will of God in Christ Jesus, to be grateful and thankful. We that is something that's so important. When I wake up in the morning, I think of the Lord. And I think about who he is, and I immediately say, God, I am so blessed today. I want to thank you for everything in my life. I start there. I want to thank you for every good thing that's in my life. And I talked to him about that. Here's a great, I like this picture. That was kind of cool. That's a good one, isn't it? Don't you like that? You wake up and you say, I'm not in the hospital, I'm not in jail, and I'm not in the grave. Thank you, God, for another day. That's a good way to start the morning. And it's actually God's will. It's God's will for you to be thankful in Christ Jesus. And it's so weird how we are so good at forgetting the goodness of God every day in our lives. And there's so many beautiful scriptures that speak about, you know, with that you when you go to pray to God, go with an attitude of thankfulness. You know, do you want a piece of cheese with that wine? Are you a whiner? Do you whine? Do you whine in your prayers? You know, God doesn't really dig on people that whine. Just read the whole Torah, the first five books of the Bible, how the people whined the whole time they left Egypt. They just whined. Do you want a piece of cheese with that? God hates it. Just like parents. Hey, parents, do you love it when your kids just whine? I had a friend of mine who bought his daughter a Mustang when she turned 16. And she broke down in tears because she wanted a truck. Isn't that terrible? Could you imagine when you turn 16 and your dad brings home a Mustang? That's almost abuse, isn't it? That's terrible. What parent would do such horrible things? She wanted an F-150. That's called child abuse. Do you want a piece of cheese with that wine? Would that please not be you? When you wake up in the morning, you just know he's there. Acknowledge him, talk to him, declare him as God, and tell him, I am thankful for everything you've given me today. Thank you, God, for my life, my day. This is a part of just sanctifying Christ as Lord of your heart. It's a beautiful thing. Thank him for it. Be grateful for him. And tell him, and it's note number, here's another one, right? Note number five, willfully give Jesus the lordship of your time. Hey, Lord, today's the day that you've given me. I only get so many of them. Lord, would you please be the Lord of my day? Just sanctify my day. This day I want to give this day. I only get today. Jesus said daily, daily, daily. Give the Lord your day today, right? God, you get the morning, the afternoon, and the evening. As long as today is called today, and this doesn't mean I'm giving you today, I'm going to give you my day, so that means I don't have to go to work. No, yes, you do. You have to go to school. You got to go to work. You just take God with you, and you give him this day. It's important. Give him that day. And let me say this. A part of your time in the day should take time to read the Word of God. And that's note number six. Take time to read the Scriptures. It's so important that you read God's Word every day. And I want to read for you Psalm 119, verses 97 through 105. And this is a great text. I love this text. The psalmist says, oh, how I love your instruction. I think about them all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are a constant guide. Yes, I have more insight than my teachers, for I am always thinking of your laws. I am even wiser than my elders, for I have kept your commandments. I have refused to walk on any evil path, so that I may remain obedient to your word. I haven't turned away from your regulations, for you have taught me well. Who has taught you well as you read God's word? He has. You have taught me well. Do you realize that when you read the scriptures, God's speaking to you? Why would you avoid that? You've taught me well. How sweet your words taste to me. They are sweeter than honey. Your commandments give me understanding. No wonder I hate every false way of life. Why? Because your word is a guide to my feet and a light to my path. People, God speaks through his word, so you should read it and know it. God gives you instruction. He's speaking to you. If you're going to give him the lordship of your day, then you give him the lordship of your time. So take time to read the word of the Lord. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And I should just give you the famous Hebrews 4:12 word. It says this, the scripture, for the word of God is alive and active. The scriptures somehow are very unique. They're alive and active. They're sharper than any double-edged Roman sword. It penetrates even the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. People, when you read God's word, it's like the Spirit of God works with the word of God, and God begins to speak into your life. He begins to give you deeper understandings of your life. It's important that you just give God that. It's so important. You guys, I call these the Fabulous Four. Prayer, Bible, I journal, I write letters to God, and in my journaling, I can hear and feel God speak to me. And by the way, I also read like other books. I've been really reading a really fun book by Dr. Walter Martin. Remember him, the original Bible Answer Man? Great devotional book. I spent some time with the Lord in the morning with a nice cup of coffee and some quiet instrumental music, and I just declare the Lord of my day. I run through these things. They're very good things, and I don't do this perfectly, but this is my heart, my attitude, and this is how I give God the lordship of my day. And by the way, give the Lord the lordship of your body. If you give him the lordship of your time, give him the lordship over this machine that you're moving in today. Did you know that this sucker is fearfully and wonderfully made? This is incredible. A pump right here, filters, piping, the lenses in my eyes, unbelievable. The brain is incredible. This you're a spirit and a soul, but you are in a body. This machine that you dwell in, you should thank God for this body and say, God, use my body today, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20 says, do you not know that your bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit? Did you know that God dwells in your body? Who's in you, whom you've received from God? You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. You've been bought with a price. So honor God with your body. What you hear, what you see. Romans 12 says this, verse 1, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. So now that you are living in this machine, give God the lordship over the machine for the day. And FYI, if you're seeing something you shouldn't see, have you ever been in a movie theater and you're just going, I shouldn't be here? Get out. I told this story once. I remember as a young man, I was driving down the 5 freeway. I was listening to a cassette deck of a. Did you know the best music's in the 80s, right? Y'all know that. And I had heard this song 100 times, and I love this band, I love this song, but just listening to it that day as a young Christian, it offended me what was being sung in those lyrics. And I looked at it, and I remember just sitting there and going, something's changed in me, and I don't appreciate what that person's singing about. And I hit the eject button, and I took the tape and tossed it out the T-top in my Corvette. Now, littering wasn't a thought, but I didn't need to hear that. And I thought it was really interesting because God was changing me. It was so cool to watch God. It's called progressive sanctification, as God's molding you. It's changing me. I don't need to hear that with my ears anymore. I'm done. It was pretty cool. It was important to me. You give him your eyes that you see and the ears that you hear with. And by the way, this one's kind of important too. You give God the possessions of your life. If that's note number 8, you could write that down. Give Jesus the lordship of your possessions. See, if you belong to Jesus, then everything you have belongs to Jesus, right? He's the Lord of you and everything about you. King David said, the earth is the Lord's and all it contains. The world and all those who dwell in it. God created the earth, it's his. He gets to keep it, right? Haggai says this one, the silver is mine, God says, and the gold is mine. Because he's the one that made gold and silver. It's all his. Deuteronomy says, but remember the Lord your God, for it's he who gives you the ability to make wealth. If God didn't give you that brain in this body, you wouldn't have one penny. See, God is the owner of all things, including you, and you are managers of God's possessions. That's a different way that Christians view stuff. This doesn't belong to me. It's not how much of my money do I give God. It's how much of God's money do I get to keep. It's a totally different way of looking at life. God, everything's the Lord's. I'm the Lord's. You are the King of Kings, and everything is yours, Lord. So now how do I go about doing this? Give him the possessions. They're yours. And I should say with that, give God your decisions. This is a daily thing. See, every day you make decisions. There's an old saying, what, WWJD. Does anyone know what that means? What would Jesus do? You know, that's not bad. You should do that. What would Jesus do? If you do that, you won't go to jail. You're not going to get a DUI that night. If you just say, when you think about things, what would Jesus do? That was a big saying long ago. But if he's the Lord, give him your decisions. And it's very practical. I was a young Christian when I accepted the Lord. I was in my early 20s. And I had, at the time, I drove a really cool Corvette. So I came from a wealthy home. My dad was a wealthy man. And I'm a kid with a 72 Vet with a four-speed, Muncie four-speed, 370 horse LT1. I got in a lot of trouble with that car. I souped up that car. And I remember one day, early in my faith, I was saving money for a supercharger. If anyone knows what that is, you put that on top of your engine, and it gives you about 150 more horsepower. This was a B&M supercharger that I was saving money for, and I was ready to go. I had money for this, and I was ready to rock. And I was going to get in a lot of trouble with that, FYI. And at that time, as a young Christian, I found out about I also could take that money and go study in the land of Israel. And the funny thing was, it cost just as much money to go study in the land of Israel for that summer or to buy this supercharger. And I was struggling because I really wanted that B&M supercharger. I just couldn't wait to feel what that thing would have felt like. And yet, wow, to go walk in the land of Jesus for a summer? And I was about 22, and I was really struggling with this. And my friend John, I'll never forget this, ever. I was in Dana Point, I was going to college, and he says, well, gee, Frank, what do you think Jesus would do? And it was over. It was over. I'm like, dude, he would go to study in the land of Jesus and to walk closer with the Lord and learn and grow. And I'm so glad you give him the decisions of your life. You know, it blessed my life so much, and here I am now. I had no idea I'd ever be a pastor. I've taken so many people in the land of Jesus and walk them through exactly what I experienced. And by the way, I'm going next year if you want to go do a biblical study tour of the land of Jesus. I had no idea. Just that one decision wouldn't just impact my life, but so many people's lives. Give Jesus the decisions of your life. And appropriately, here's the last note. Giving Jesus the lordship of each day isn't easy, but it's good, it's pleasing, and it's perfect. It's not easy. Romans 12:2 says this. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his terrible will for your life. No, it says his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Did you know that God's will for your life is perfect? It's not easy, but it's really good. It's really good. It's not easy, ask Jesus, but it's the right thing to do. You want to have a good year of 2026? I challenge you. In the midst of going to the gym and eating better, I haven't had sugar for 2 months now. And I haven't been sick either. Did you know that sugar breaks down your immunities? I just don't want to get sick. I know, you know, dude, I have all these New Year's. Every day I want to sanctify Christ as Lord of my heart. Every day. I want you to do that too. To meet Jesus and to know Jesus is nice. But when you declare him the Lord of your life, that's the whole other thing. To meet, know, to follow Christ. That's where the money is. Jesus says that you're the light of the earth. You're the salt of the earth and the light of the world. You are not that if you don't follow him. It's when you make him the Lord of your life, then you become the salt of the earth and the light of the world. If you don't follow Jesus, you're just like everybody else, just living for yourself. But when you pick up his cross and daily follow him, you become who he's created you to be. And this is who you are when you bless people like Millette. It wasn't a bunch of people in here living their own lives and being jerks. It was a bunch of a church living out love for God and love for people that heals people in a Jesus community. There is no perfect church, and if you find one, don't go to it because you will ruin it. Because you're not perfect. There is no perfect church. But it's when a church is a community of people that love God and they submit to the Lord. And as soon as you do that, God transforms you and changes you. And you become less like you and more like Jesus. And when you are like that, God puts you in people's lives and you bless these people with your times and talents. And you give the Lord the lordship of each day. God, if you want me to share Christ with you today, Jesus, if you want me to open the door for somebody today, to be kind for somebody today, when he becomes the Lord of your life, that's when everything changes. That's what it is. It's so important that you get this. If you do this, you'll have a great life. You will have a really good 2026. When you give Jesus the Lord of your morning, the Lord of your day. This is so difficult. Next Sunday, we're going to talk about making Jesus the Lord of your future. Guess what's the easiest one to do? That one. The hardest is giving him your past and to give him today. Because I don't want to give him today. I want my supercharger, right? Hey, man. But when you deny yourself, take up the will of God for your life, and follow me. See, you who does this, you'll have a different life. He who finds his life will lose it, but he who loses his life on account of me will find your life. If you live each day for Jesus, you'll have different life. And this is his call for you. It's so hard. And you're not going to do this perfectly. I should bring an umbrella. You all get an umbrella of mercy. Because it's not every day where Jesus is perfectly the Lord of your life. It's an attitude of the will. It's an attitude of the will as you walk with the Lord. It's a daily thing, people. But I hope you're blessed in just hearing this. Sanctify Christ as Lord of your hearts. And from that, give him the Lord of your past. If you don't, you're just going to carry around a bunch of baggage. Give Jesus the Lord of each day that he gives you to live. And you're only going to get so many of them. But you give the Lord each day that he gives you and say, God, you're the Lord, I'm not. I see you. Thank you for everything, Lord. Thank you for all good things in my life. Thank you for your love for me that's unconditional. And Lord, I just want to give you my time, my day, my body, my possessions, my decisions. Lord, just take control of my day as I am called to live this day. You walk with me and you be the Lord over everything. Man, you do this, you'll have a different year. And in the midst of it all, you'll be transformed into the person that he wants you and created you to be in the first place. Does that make sense? You with me? Father, I thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness in our lives. Lord, thank you that your love for us is not based on our performance. Thank you, God, that your love for us is it's immeasurable. It is limitless. Your unfailing love. We are so blessed in this room, Lord. We thank you, God, for your patience in our lives. We thank you, God, for the gift of each day. Lord, teach us, Lord, how to walk in your ways. Teach us, Lord, how to live in your truth. For you are the God of our salvation. God, help us to be a better us each day, the us you created us to be. We pray this for the glory of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all those who love the Lord would say what?
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand as we close with this song.